We'll now change topics and focus on the international community and the former Republic of Yugoslavia and its belligerents.
Okay. In this report, we are dealing with controversies which came about with the response of the international community to the crisis in the former Yugoslavia from the short June 1991 war in Slovenia till the November 1995 Dayton Agreement. Just to give you an example on how different the opinions among the actors in the Yugoslav drama on the role of international communities are, I shall mention that Vojislav Sesar recently, almost on the eve of the death of Pope John Paul II, asked the Hague Tribunal to subpoena the Pope to show that the main culprit for all the war crimes for which the prosecutor has falsely accused Vojislav Sesar is Roman Catholic Pope John Paul II. According to most of Western authors, the foreigners, i.e. the political leaders for most of Europe and also the United States in the late 1980s, wanted desperately to keep the territorial integrity of Yugoslavia. Some other authors, like Polish political scientist Marek Waldenberg and Russian historian Yelena Gushkova, blamed the West not only for the dissolution, but also for the breakup of the former Yugoslavia into pieces in such a violent way. Also Slobodan Milosevic started his defense in Hague by blaming the foreigners for the breakup of Yugoslavia. He said, "The international community was the main force for the destruction of Yugoslavia, accusing Germany, Austria, USA, and the Vatican." The team agreed that the international community, including both the United States and the Soviet Union or Russian Federation, tried to maintain the status quo and hold together a Yugoslavia that had become an empty shell. Instead of seeking to facilitate a peaceful transformation, the international community attempted to perpetuate the ancient regime and thus bears considerable responsibility for the violence and insecurity that followed. What role did the international community play in the Yugoslav crisis in the early 1990s? On the basis of the existing literature, this team discusses the role of international organizations, world powers, certain non-aligned countries, some of the smaller countries of ECEU, and other neighboring countries of the former Yugoslavia. Could the bloody demise of Yugoslavia have been prevented if the international community had reacted sooner? The team did not reach agreement on this question. Clearly, Milosevic's Serb politicians believed that the dissolution of Yugoslavia was the final goal of the West. The team does not accept this argument. Regardless of the policies of the international community towards the former Yugoslavia, it was not possible to keep the country together. Nevertheless, the team does argue that the international community bears some responsibility for the violent breakup of Yugoslavia, since that community did not seek to facilitate a peaceful transformation of Yugoslavia, but rather attempted to support the old order. The Yugoslav government and Slovene and Croatian political leader had been actively seeking explicit support from European institutions and governments for their separate programs. While most European governments continued to support the Yugoslav government and to insist that the Yugoslav stayed together, the European Parliament in March 1991 passed a resolution declaring that the constituent republics and autonomous provinces of Yugoslavia must have the right to determine freely their own future in a peaceful and democratic manner and on the basis of recognized international borders. Most of the team fought U.S. policy in particular, since that policy was inconsistent from the beginning. U.S. diplomats were following developments in Yugoslavia closely during the 1980s, but they were not listened to in the State Department. The CIA came out in October 1990 with a forecast that Yugoslavia would cease to function within 1 year and would probably dissolve within two. This is already in October 1990. Also, according to this report, economic reform would not stave off the breakup. The question is whether the politicians in the US wanted to know and whether the politicians wanted to act accordingly. There is also another question, if there was anything the international, therefore also US politicians could do to prevent the bloody demise and the eruption of the crisis. Even former US Secretary of State James Baker did not pay too much respect to this report in an interview he gave me on February 2, 2005. The senior George Bush's administration was too busy resolving the crisis in Iraq and did not want to be involved in another regional crisis. The fact that most of the key Bush senior administration officials like Lawrence Eagleburger and Brent Scowcroft had been in one way or another connected to Serbia also played a role. As the crisis worsened, the US clearly let the EU take the lead, and one has to question whether EU diplomats were capable enough to handle the situation alone. The team discusses Baker's visit to Yugoslavia in June 1991 and the role of the US Congress in the crisis. Did the ethnicity of Congress members and their constituents influence Congress and administration's decision? It certainly did influence the activities of certain members of Congress. Some of them supported the breakup and opposed the violence. For example, Congressman Dennis Eckert from Cleveland spoke on June 26, 1991, about the violence occurring in Slovenia, which is the homeland of his grandparents. Also, Helen Delitzsch Bentley of Maryland defined the Serb truce. So success defended the Serb truce so successfully that even James Baker, when I asked him about her activities at the crossroads of the 1990s in a above-mentioned interview, stated that he remembered her real well. The role of Germany is discussed in some detail. There was a lively debate within the team on the German intentions. Most of the team members support their argument that until late autumn 1991, Germany did not intend on supporting the breakup of Yugoslavia. It is interesting to note that it was for the sake of unity of Western alliances that the USA at the end respected the wishes of Germans and recognized Slovenia and Croatia, according to James Baker in the interview of February 2, 2005. Well, I have published this interview in Mladina, the paper, the review, which actually is considered responsible for the breakup as well somehow, by the Serbs, of course. One of the controversies we are discussing about in this report is also Mitterrand's, French President Mitterrand's flight to Sarajevo in June 1992. The international community had to deal with the question of whether the wars in former Yugoslavia could be treated as wars of aggression or civil war. Were the wars in Croatia and Bosnia civil wars or international conflicts for which small FRY would be liable to the charge of aggression? Academic and popular literature on the war in Bosnia, as Sumantra Bose wrote, still today remains deeply divided on the basic issue. Was it primarily a case of internecine bloodletting among Bosnians, or was it an avoidable war caused primarily by the aggression of FRY? And secondarily, Croatia against Bosnia and the failure of the West to confront aggressors in good time. supporters of external aggression thesis are strong proponents of preserving and developing Bosnia and Herzegovina as a single United States, while those who believe that 1992-1995 conflict was primarily a civil war have a range of attitudes towards the post-1992 state, from cautiously neutral to actively hostile. The Soviet Union, of course, also supported the preservation of Yugoslavia, especially because of its historic ties with Serbia and because of its own concern for independence movements in some of its own republics. The team provides a narrative for the dissolution of Yugoslavia from the Slovene 10-day war to the Croatian war and the development of the crisis in Bosnia. It discusses various attempts of the EC and UN to solve the crisis, the several initiatives by the international community in Croatia and Bosnia, and the reaction of the international community to the recognition of Slovenia, Croatia, and later Bosnia and Herzegovina by the EU and the USA. Well, the team considers positive and negative sides of the UN intervention, for example, finding the UN forces in Bosnia complicit in the assassination of Bosnian Prime Minister Hakia Turajlić and complicit in upholding the siege of Sarajevo. The team also argues that Generals McKenzie and Rose were deeply hostile to the Bosniaks and that UN sources made false claims about Bosnians selling themselves. The team finally discusses the influence of the media on public opinion in the West, the so-called CNN effect. The decision-making process in the Clinton administration, as it finally decides to intervene in Bosnia, and also the long road to the Dayton Peace Accord. Thank you very much.